Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay in the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments that you would like to make during this broadcast, or you would have any, you know, thoughts you would like to share, you can feel free to call me and my special guest tonight at area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that call-in number again. Area code 646-716-4893. Or you can always email me at bonk@aol.com. That's bonk@aol.com. And I'll be happy to address any of the issues that you would like to raise tonight. Tonight I have a very special guest on the phone, my dear friend Grace. Hi, Grace.
Hi, Bonnie.
Thank you for coming and joining us on the show tonight. I know that, you know, you've been here before and people always appreciate so much of what you have to say. But before we get started, I just want to make a couple of announcements, and I want to let people know that, you know, I'm really excited about our children's support group that we have now for adult children of gay fathers. And it's a group that's just in the beginning stages. We have some wonderful members who are part of it. And I never really realized how important this kind of group is for adult children of gay fathers who have struggled with so many issues over the years and who have felt so torn, and, you know, they feel they can't play sides, they can't tell their mother one thing, their father another thing. So this is a really good place to voice those emotions and those feelings. It's 100% confidential, and people never have to fear that their information will ever be exposed to anyone else. But if you have children who are interested in this or you feel they need support, please let me know. They really need a place to go where they can talk to other young adults who are experiencing the same feelings. Also, I'm very excited. I was just telling Grace that it's only 2 weeks away that we have our big Houston retreat. And I'm really excited about that. I had the wonderful opportunity of meeting Grace there last year. And we're going to be with some wonderful women this year. So, Grace, maybe you can talk a little bit about the importance of finding support at a retreat like this.
I will, Bonnie. I, you know, last year when I came, I was very nervous about coming. I didn't know what to expect or anything. And within 30 seconds after walking in that room, all the nerves went away. It was the most... It, not only healing, but it was the most miraculous weekend of my life. It was the best thing I ever did for myself. And the women all there were so kind and caring and supportive. And when I left out of there, I felt inspired, motivated, affirmed, and very hopeful. And so I can only stress to the ones that are able to come that you're going to come out a different woman than you went in. And for the ones that are not going to be able to come, I hope one day you will be able to come to one of Bonnie's healing weekends because it's truly life-changing.
I think what's so important is that even though we all come from different experiences and we all may have different kinds of marriages, there's this similar common bond that you really can't find anywhere else, because even when you talk about other marriages that are not good marriages or marriages that break up, there's different circumstances, I mean, than there are in these marriages. Wouldn't you say so?
I would definitely say so. And I've had the misfortune of being through a divorce from a straight man and a gay man, so... And they're totally different. You know, at any time a marriage breaks up, it's gut-wrenching and heartbreaking and mind-numbing, but nothing compares to the divorce or the being in a marriage with a gay man. And then subsequently, and hopefully, women can move on with their lives.
I know. There's nothing quite like it. And I'm also in a unique, it's not unique because you and I share this, but in a situation where I was also, you know, divorced from a straight man and a gay man. But it's not so much the divorces that were different as it was the marriages that were different.
Right.
And even though, like I say, they were not both not successful, they both had different emotional impacts, wouldn't you say so?
Emotional impacts, different issues, you know.
But I think yours was worse than mine, and in certain regards. And this is really what I want to talk about, because I have a number of women who are listening tonight because they knew you were coming on, and they're pretty much in a similar situation with you, and they're married to what I call the straight gay man. Mm-hmm. They're married to a man who's gay, but he's living under the guise of being a straight man. And there's just nothing, even though he's, you know, living a straight life and having gay sex, you know, there is no way in the world that you're going to convince him that he's a gay man, because he doesn't want to be gay, except when it comes to sex, that is.
Yes.
So women who are in this situation really have much more difficulty than women who have some kind of, you know, information or confessions or some kind of proof, or at least, some, you know, their husbands leave and go off with other men. But when it comes to having a straight gay husband, those are the men who leave and then they remarry again. This is so distressing to women, and I know that this was certainly your story, right?
Absolutely. I did not know. I kind of did everything backwards compared to a lot of women, but I didn't discover my ex-husband was a gay man until after we were divorced. In fact, it was a year or two after we were divorced. And then when I found out he was getting remarried, that's when I kind of went into my tumble, really kind of still blaming myself. I thought, well, you know, just the crazy thoughts you have in your head. If he's getting married again, he must not be gay. Well, that, I had to push that out of my head. I call it junk food in the brain, but because he married me and he was gay, so... But I don't know if women remember this story, maybe not, but the governor of New Jersey several years ago, his name was Jim McGreevy, and he came on television and announced that he was, quote, a gay American, with his wife standing beside him. And I read Dina McGreevy's book. It's called Silent Partner. Jim McGreevy had been married before and had a daughter, and then married her and had a child with her. And the book kind of goes into all that. And it was kind of a healing thing for me to realize that these men do continue on, because they'll never, never admit that they're a gay man, you know. And what they do is just draw other women into their web of lies and deceit and betrayal. And as long as they feel like they're covering up who they actually are, they don't care who they hurt in the long run, you know. So it's very sad.
It is. And these are the men who I really have a lot of contempt for, because of the fact that they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. At least with Jim McGreevy, at the end, he came out as a gay American. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he called himself, right?
Yes, he did.
But with some men, but unlike, you know, Jim McGreevy, these guys will never admit to it.
No. Well, I don't
mean,
think
they're just hung
Jim
up on being straight.
Right. I don't think Jim McGreevy would have either, but he was threatening to be blackmailed by his lover. So he really had no choice but to come out. I believe he'd still be under the ruse, according to her book, if he had not been going to be blackmailed for what he was doing. So it's just very contemptible about what they do, and it just breaks my heart that they continue to destroy other people's lives to hide who they are. And you've talked about it so beautifully, and I feel the same way. I have no contempt for my ex-husband being a gay man. I don't. I believe you're born that way, but when you realize who you are and what you are, and you continue to do this, it's just very sad.
It is. And, you know, it's once again, nothing to do with being gay. because all of us can accept somebody who's gay.
Right.
But not inside the marriage. I mean, that's not where gay people belong. They don't belong married to straight women. And it's one thing if they make the mistake once and they can admit to it and live up to it and say, look, you know, I'm so sorry. You know, I thought I could pull this off. And not pull it off, but, you know, I thought I could live a straight life. I thought if I, you know, loved you enough that it would work. And, you know, those feelings just don't go away. But, you know, forgive me. This is not who I am. I realize I'm gay. And I'm going to go on and live an authentic straight life, you know, gay life.
Right.
Then, okay, you know, you're not happy and you're miserable because you loved your husband and all of a sudden, you know, this is, you know, a whole new totally thing. But at least you know where you stand. But it's these guys, you have no clue.
No.
And you're always second-guessing yourself. And it's like I spoke to a woman tonight, you know, I would never reveal who she is.
Right.
But when women tell me that their husbands want them to do, and I mean, I heard this conversation twice today, two different women. Their husbands want them to do things that are, you know, certainly not of the what I call normal kind of sexual activities between people. Not that I'm judging what people do, but there are certain things that to me are just not normal
right.
as far as, you know, straight sex is concerned. And then they're made to feel guilty because they're too prudish to do it or because they're not adventurous enough, you know, like their husbands want them to be with other men while their husbands are also, you know, threesomes and, you know, all kinds of anal things. And if a woman's not comfortable doing that, then all of a sudden she's at fault, and I don't get it.
No,
you know,
and I don't either. I don't either. And, you know, Bonnie, if you'll give me just a moment, for the women
sure.
that want to continue to try to change themselves and fault themselves thinking if I could just be a better woman, if I could just make him love me, if I do this, maybe he'll love me, maybe, you know, that crazy stuff that you try to do, you know, and I'm not judging anybody because I did it too. I tried every way in the world to make him love me, make him want me, everything. And I could not do it. Well, several months ago, I did this thing in my brain as I was just thinking about it. And I would like to take the time, it'll just take a few minutes, for women to sit there and try to go through this with me and understand that there's no way you can change yourself enough. And if you don't mind, I'll do that right now. I want everybody to pretend that they live in an alternate universe. And the new world that they live in it, everybody is homosexual. That's what religions preach. That's what your family and friends are. There's 10% of the whole world that are straight people, and you're one of them. Okay, you ask yourself now, could I marry a woman and do all the things that marriage entailed with that woman? Well, I had to answer to myself, honestly, I don't know, because I'm not placed in that situation. But to continue on with the scenario is you go ahead and marry a woman. She can be pretty, smart, loving, attentive, supportive, all the good things. But I still don't want to sleep with her. I still don't want to sleep with her. Well, okay, let's take it one step further. Think about the most beautiful woman in the world that you think is beautiful. For me, it's Halle Berry. I think she's the most gorgeous woman in the world. She's rich, she's powerful, she's famous. But I still don't want to sleep with her. That's when I finally got it. This is not about your husband, your gay husband. It's not about excusing him. It's about trying to explain to you that no matter what you do, no matter how beautiful you are, I'm not going to want you in that way. And so I looked at it this way. What did that woman do wrong that married me? Absolutely nothing. She did absolutely nothing wrong. She did everything right. She loved me. She cared about me. She wanted to build a life with me. But because of my secret and who I actually am, I could never love her the way that she loved me or wanted me. That's when I got it. I really got it, is the fact that it's not about me. I did everything wrong. I did everything wrong. But she did everything right. And no matter what she did, no matter what she did, there was no way in the world that I was going to want her, because I was a straight woman and I wanted a man. And she wasn't a man. So no matter what you do with your gay husband or what you want to think that you did wrong, you did nothing wrong. There's nothing you could do. And when I finally realized that, that's when my self-esteem started coming back up again, or sprouting, because I never had any to begin with. But I realized that no matter what I did, it was never going to be enough. Never. Ever, ever.
And I think that's so true, that when you have to put yourself in that situation, that if you can, maybe the words depersonalize it, you know, you don't want to, you can't take this personally, because if you take it the way that Grace said, put yourself in that situation, you're in a topsy-turvy world where straight is not in, gay is in, the majority, 90% of the people are gay, and you're straight. No matter what you would do, no matter how, you know, how much that was the way of the world, if you're not sexually attracted to another woman, no matter what people are telling you is right and what is wrong, are you ever going to be comfortable doing something with a woman? No matter how beautiful she is or how much you love her, she could be your very best friend, but it doesn't mean you want her, you know, touching you sexually. So I think that's a really great way to look at it, and I think that it explains a lot of things. But I guess it's really confusing, Grace, when, you know, you can say that story and it makes so much sense, but then these guys go out again and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing that, you know, I wrecked myself up thinking if I had just done this and I had just done that. But when I put it in that context, this isn't about the gay man at all. I'm not defending him or anything. I'm talking about, I could totally relate to that woman, because that woman was actually me, you know. But no matter what, I think it was never going to work, ever. And, you know, Bonnie, the thing that women need to realize is that most, and I'm talking about straight marriages, the two people that are involved in that marriage, the happiest marriages I've ever seen, are the ones that want the same things out of a marriage. This marriage, both people want the same thing, and it's never going to work, and that's that they both want a man.
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
Yeah. So when you start realizing that there's, I did it, and I'm sure there's so many women out there that just beat themselves up, and of course, these men, especially the straight gay men, they make it very easy for you to feel bad about yourself, because they keep reinforcing it, telling you you're too fat or you smell or whatever their crazy excuses are. They tear you down, and then you start believing it. You start feeling it because your husband doesn't want you, you know. So I just hope that somebody out there can understand, with several women I hope can understand, that there's nothing you can do that is going to change who he is.
And I think another problem is that people get such wrong advice. You know, you know, in touch with a woman tonight, and she was telling me about, you know, a counselor that she went to who was telling her, I mean, I can't believe some of the things these counselors tell women. She was saying that her husband has, you know, these gay porno films, and they watch his porno with gay men on the screen, and he claims it's just a fantasy and that nothing will ever happen. And the counselor's saying, well, that's true. A lot of men fantasize. You know, you can't hold that against them. It doesn't mean they're gay. Well, I just don't know straight men who sit and fantasize about men. I really don't.
No. No.
And I think if a man is thinking about getting sexually turned on by a penis, I mean, that's really what it comes down to, that it's gay sex that excites him. I don't care that he goes and has sex with a woman after he's excited by a man. I mean, if a woman doesn't excite him and a man does, I mean, that to me says it all. Do you agree with that?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And there are a lot of bad counselors out there. When I first moved here and I knew I needed to talk to someone, I went to this one woman, and you know, she never told me that, but we just didn't click, and I just felt like she was trying to take me down a road that I didn't want to go down. And then I found another woman, and she's wonderful, and I'm still seeing her. But she specializes in gay and lesbian issues. And when I went, first she thought I was a lesbian, so I had to explain to her no. And when I told her that I had been married to a gay man, she said, "Oh, I've seen a lot of women just like you, a lot."
Uh-huh.
And she's been very supportive. And she told me, you know, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, it's never going to work. And the longer you stay in it, the more of yourself that you lose. And but women need to continue. If they go see someone, they need to find someone that is going to support them. And, you know, Vanya, I want to take just another minute to tell you that I hope you realize how wonderful you are and how much you help all of us. And I don't know how you do all that you do, this new support for young people, and then the support chats for all of us, and your newsletters, and your weekly radio program, and the books you write, and supporting men and other women all over the world. I don't know. And then have a personal life and another job on top of it. I'll never know how you do it. But you're my hero. And
thanks, Grace. Well, with people like you around me, it's easy to do it because you're willing to always help. I have a few little helpers along the way, like you and a few of our other women who are always outreaching there for other women, and that's a big help to me.
Well,
but I appreciate that. And, you know, I just feel it's my job to bring light to the darkness of this situation, because I just feel so bad for women who have to spend one day suffering unnecessarily because of nothing that they could possibly do to change something. You know, it's funny. I took out a website, and, you know, I haven't had a chance to develop it yet. But this is one of the campaigns I'm really going on for this upcoming year, and it's called His Fault Divorce. I mean, if you're married to a man who you married in good faith and you've done everything right and something's not going right in your marriage and homosexuality is the issue, I don't feel you should have to be the person responsible for paying for a divorce, losing everything you had because you have a gay husband. I mean, nothing really irritates me more than that, I don't think. That has to be the worst. But it's, you know, like I say to women, you know, you stay in these situations, you have to get out of them. You have to find a way out. You have to find a way to escape, because the longer you stay with these guys, the more you start believing, like, you have something to do with this situation.
Right.
And the one thing I hate when women say to me is that, well, I know I wasn't, you know, perfect in the marriage either. And if you had been, would it made any difference? What do you think about that, Grace?
Oh, well, it just kind of goes back to my scenario before. You could be the most perfect woman in the world, and nobody's perfect, but you could be the most perfect woman in the world, but you're not a man, and you don't have a penis, and you're not what he desires. So quit beating yourself up over it. You know, Bonnie, I think I heard somebody say one time that self-esteem defines your value. Will we allow these men to tear us down and also define our value in this world? And we have to become empowered to take back how much we are valued, how much we value ourselves, you know. And that's a difficult thing when you've been beat down. But I can just tell women that, I mean, when I first found out that when I saw the computer, and I started tail spinning then, and then when I found out he had remarried, that's when I really hit rock bottom. And I would go to work every day and function at work, but I would come home, and I called it my cocoon. I locked myself in my apartment. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to do anything. I wasn't eating. I wasn't sleeping. And then as the time wore on and talking to you and reading and everything that I was doing, it's just like a caterpillar in a cocoon. I could feel the changes happening. And we all know what happens to the caterpillar when he's in the cocoon. I haven't burst out of my cocoon yet all the way, but I know that there's changes happening to me. And it's because when I got out of the marriage and started realizing that I'm not perfect, but I'm okay. And if you don't can't accept me the way I am, then that's your problem, and I'm going to move on. But these women just have to quit beating themselves up. They have to.
I think that, you know, it comes down to it's a matter that you can keep trying all you want to try, but it's still not going to make any difference.
No.
You know, once you're in these marriages, there is nothing that you can do to ever make things right. And I know I had mentioned, talked about this before when you were on the show, but it's been a little while. So I just want to review this with women about the straight gay men. And I have this written in my book, Doom Grooms, which Grace says is one of her favorite books, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
One of my favorite books that I've written. So, and here it says, there is another kind of gay men who are the most difficult kind to live with, and I call these the straight gay men, because they are gay men living in straight men's clothing. No matter what happens, they will never admit to being gay, not even to themselves. They are in total denial and have all intentions of remaining there forever and ever. The real straight gay men have no sense of remorse for what they are doing to their wives. And I think that, you know, you could agree with that. In fact, they often feel as if they are the victims in their marriage and strike back at their spouses in an emotionally or physically abusive manner. They blame the wives for their unhappiness and never have a clue about the emotional damage they are doing to these women, whom they promise to love, cherish, and respect. They constantly criticize and demoralize their wives, when in fact there is nothing that their wives could possibly do to make them feel happy or fulfilled. Their wives are women, and they are gay men. These are the men who will never leave their marriages. They are not going to meet some nice gay man who will bring them happiness. That would be unthinkable. They will stay married until the day they die, leading a painful existence and transferring that pain into their wives. More accurately, pouring that pain upon their wives like pouring salt into a wound. We all know that misery loves company, and these men are happy to make you as miserable as they are. These men are usually very homophobic, and they mean it for real. The thought of gay men is sickening to them. They view them as perverted and distorted. They will taunt and ridicule them. This is how they mentally respond to their own form of self-hatred. To accept gays would mean they would be accepting that part of them that they work so hard to hide and reject. They are also ultra-paranoid that someone might misinterpret any compassion that they have towards homosexuality, even if they had any. This might point the finger of suspicion their way. And guess what the irony of the straight gay man is? If a woman finally does get smart enough to walk away from the marriage, in almost all cases, he will go and find another woman for a relationship. This is the most frightening aspect of all. Some other unsuspecting woman is going to get trapped, or rather zapped. I see this all too often. When women write to me about how they hurt because of their ex-gay husbands are dating other women, their hurt seems even greater than the women whose husbands come out and find men. They really personalize it even though they know the truth. It's not like they want their gay husbands back, but it's an extra slap in the face to the women on an emotional level. Just thinking that there are women out there that can fulfill the needs of their ex-gay husbands is very painful. And by the way, I'll stop there. Did you feel that way, Grace?
Oh, most definitely, yes. Yes.
And I think that's what makes it so much worse, is that you're thinking, well, I wasn't good enough for him.
Yes.
And yet he's able to find a woman who's even better, and I've tried everything in the world, and he's still looking for another woman.
Yes.
But I do say, if it's any consolation, rest assured that whatever woman is unfortunate enough to hook up with your gay husband will be just as unhappy as you were. After the dust settles and the new woman is reliving your hell, she'll be wondering what's wrong with her. The worst part about this is that the new woman will always be told how much better of a wife you were than she is. That's how your ex-husband will be able to start stripping her self-esteem and sexual esteem down, and she won't catch on to the gay thing for a lot longer than it took you. After all, he married before, he married again. How could he be gay? Most likely he had children with you. That must mean he's not gay, right? Some unsuspecting women will inevitably be forced to deal with your nightmare. Tragic, isn't it? Isn't that true?
It is, and it is so tragic. It really is tragic. And, you know, I know the fear women have of getting out on their own and getting back maybe into the workforce if they've been a stay-at-home mom or just out of the workforce for a while or whatever. It's very, very frightening and intimidating. But I can assure you that once you're out and you have a chance to kind of catch your breath and everything, things do get better. They really do. And I said this on the last time I was on, it'd be so nice to take a magic pill and make the pain go away. But you have to go through the journey and everything. But I was not depressed or down or anything when I got divorced. In fact, I was relieved when I was out of it. It wasn't until I found out what the problem was that I took the road down the hill. And a friend of mine asked me one time, she said, would you have rather not ever found out? And I said, no, I'm glad I found out, because then I knew what the problem was in the marriage, and then it was the healing that needed to start after that.
Did you have any suspicions at all during the marriage?
Oh, Bonnie, you know, looking back now, I wasn't the guard to the closet. I was embedded in that closet with him, and I realized that I was in just as much denial about it as him. There were so many signs, but I just could not wrap my brain around it. And so many women now have told me this, and I do believe this. My ex-husband, I always had looked at gay men being the stereotypical gay man, and he was as far from that as I could ever imagine. So I hate looking at people in a stereotypical way, but that's all I had to go by. And
all right, that's what we grow up with. We watch on television.
Right.
We see the men who are wishy-washy and the ones who are, you know, very out there, like the Liberace types, and the ones who are flamboyant. I guess that's the word I'm looking for, flamboyancy. And that's who we're taught, you know, are gay people. That's how they behave.
Right.
They don't behave like our straight, supposedly straight husbands, right?
Right. Absolutely. And he didn't have any of that, none of that. And so I just could not wrap my brain around it, but there were just so many signs. In fact, that's what I talked about last time I was on the show, was writing down the list of all the things that were suspicious and that sent up red flags. And when I came to 53 of them, you just have to say, no, that's just too much right there. And I believe that when my husband left, I do believe he had fallen in love with somebody. And I think that's when he used my cancer as the excuse to leave. But I believe that there was somebody in his life during that time, and he just used my cancer as the excuse of leaving. So apparently the relationship didn't work out, and then he found another woman. But it's just tragic, and it pains me when I get on the chat room and I read what the women are writing and everything. I can totally relate because I remember being there, and it's just very, very sad.
Well, all I can say, Grace, is that you truly are an inspiration because you went through it, you survived it, but your marriage wasn't that great to start with, right?
No, it wasn't. And like I said, when we got divorced, I was relieved, and that pit, that knot in the pit of my stomach had gone away, and I didn't have to deal with his outburst and his anger all the time and his nitpicking me half to death and the fear of when the next explosion was going to happen. But I just could not put my finger on why he was the way he was, you know. And intimacy was almost nil. And he could go through the motions when we did have we were intimate, but he was void of emotions during sex, and I just never could understand that. And but now it all makes perfect sense to me.
Do you think part of it is also because women lack the education to understand this?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, especially depending on sometimes the parts of the country you live in, your religious upbringing. You know, I think a lot of women are really sheltered from hearing about this kind of stuff. You
they
know,
are.
If you're not involved with it directly or watch Once in a Blue Moon, an Oprah Winfrey type show that has something about it that gives, you know, a bad image anyway, because recently there was a show, I forget which one of the shows they wanted me to participate, you know, send them, always get notices like from these national shows when they're doing a, you know, a program, a talk show. Can I help them find somebody for these shows? And they're looking for people who I won't work with, you know, people who are happy living in these marriages, which represent like maybe 1% of all the women who are in these marriages. So I'm certainly not going to give them ammunition to fight with there on something that doesn't even exist.
Right.
But, you know, it's like I say, unless, and then if you catch a show like that, naturally you're feeling even worse because these people are happy and you're not. So, you know, you really don't have good, solid information. That's the problem.
Right.
And then you don't feel like you have really support because who understands this kind of thing? Who can you tell this to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was your family supportive of you?
My family was very supportive of me, and my sister and my daughter and my son were my salvation during this time because no matter how much I cried and complained and just blubbering most of the time, they just sat there and were very, very supportive. And of course, my girlfriends, I have a very close circle of, there's 9 of us total, and they knew, my girlfriends especially knew something was very, very wrong, and they even asked me, but I never would tell them what the truth was, but they knew something was very wrong because I had changed so much. I was more to myself. I didn't want to go places. I didn't want to do things, and a lot of that was him telling me, you know, he used to tell me friends were overrated, and my friends have never been overrated. I love my girlfriends, and but they knew something was very wrong. And then when I finally found out what it was and I told them, they agreed. They said they would have never guessed that he was a gay man, but that it made perfect sense of how I was acting and how I had withdrawn from them. And so,
so how is it that you found out after the fact?
I had moved to Florida to take a job, and in packing all my things, I had to put a lot of things in storage, and there was an old computer in my garage that he would get on, and I would get on it occasionally just to do our personal banking, but that doesn't require the internet. And
uh-huh.
I really was not internet savvy at all during my marriage. We owned our own business, but we had people working for us that did all the computer stuff. And so I just never really got on the computer. But he would get on that computer sometimes, and it was out in his office in the shop. And so I was going to throw it away, and then I thought, you know what, I need to check the hard drive, make sure that there's no Social Security numbers in there anywhere or anything like that. And in searching, I found the cookies and opened them up, and that, lo and behold, it had been going on. We married in 1999, and it started in 2000.
Wow.
Where he was on these gay websites and emails and all that. So, in fact, the night it started was on my birthday, the year after we married. He had taken me out to dinner, I thought we would go to bed, and he told me he wanted to watch TV, so he went in the living room, and I went to bed, and I guess he had gone out there and got on the computer, and he was searching all these gay websites on the night of my birthday that year. So, and then it was just, it escalated after that. It was like 2000, it was a little bit, 2001 more, and then on and on and on. And by 2004 and 2005, he was on there almost every day looking. So.
Yeah, it becomes a compulsion with many of them.
Yeah.
And especially once they become so addicted to the computer and computer, you know, pornography and all these websites for dating, you know, it almost becomes something they have to do all the time for a long time.
Right.
And especially when they're not living a gay life. You know, it's one thing when you're living an openly gay life, then you don't have to keep doing this kind of stuff because this is your life.
Absolutely.
But when you're not, that's where the real problem comes in.
Right. And since I moved back to Texas, I left my job in Florida to move back home, and that was a conscious decision for me because I, at this stage of my life, I didn't want to be away from my family and my friends. If I was 30, I would still probably be in Florida because it's a very good job, high-paying job, but I just didn't want to be away from my family and friends, so I moved back. And in the course of working at this job, I met a man that works with me, and we were talking one day, and I said something about his wife or girlfriend or something, and he said, well, Grace, I'm gay, and I would have never known. But he has been so wonderful. We've gone out to dinner. He's even brought his partner, who is an attorney, and they have helped me so much. They've been very open and honest. We don't get into their personal life or anything, but he's been very, very helpful in helping me to understand gay men. And they're both open about their them being gay and everything, but he told me one time, and I think I told you that he had told me this, but he said that he would say 95 to 99% of the men on Craigslist that are looking for men are all men that are married to women that are hiding. He said, gay men that are out don't go on Craigslist. He said, they're
exactly.
And so he said, the men that you see on Craigslist are usually the ones that are married to women that are hiding. And I thought that was so fascinating. But he and his partner both have given me some very insightful information about gay men that are in the closet. He said that if a man is at a gay club or a gay bar where they are, they can usually spot him, a married gay man, spot him a mile away. He said usually they're from out of town because they know if they come to a gay bar out of town, no one's going to know who they are.
Uh-huh.
And he said that they're very, very, they're just looking for a hookup. They're not there to enjoy other men's company and, you know, have a good time. They're ready for a hookup and they want to leave. And he said we kind of shy away from those guys because we just don't want to be a part of that, you know. And like I said, they've been very, very helpful to me to try to understand this. And like I said, when you're out, you don't have to hide. You don't have to be secretive. You don't have to lie. And when you're caught up in these marriages to men that are gay and in the closet, they lie and they're very secretive and very good at it.
I know, and I was always hoping that the gay community would really put a damper on this because, you know, these men really give a bad name to the gay community.
They do.
You know, when you look at men who are, you know, living a lie in these marriages and really wrecking the lives of their, you know, these of our women. And I'm not saying they're intentionally wrecking it, but, you know, you can't be happy in a straight marriage when you're a gay man. That's just the way life is.
Right.
So naturally you feel frustrated and you're going to take it out on the woman who loves you.
Yep.
So I was really hoping that the gay community might take a stance that, you know, not really make this something that they can accept, you know, and really try to encourage men to come out to their wives. But so far in my dealings, I haven't had that kind of luck. I mean, I guess, you know, they don't want to condemn anybody in their community. But, you know, like I say, it would be nice at least if they would put the word out that we're not going to be bothering with men who can't be honest. It's so funny because I have so many men who, I would say at least a couple hundred a year, who write to me, and I call them the other men. These are men who are involved with men who are married in straight, you know, in straight relationships. And, of course, they're looking for a sexual liaison outside the relationship, and they meet these guys, and they tell them their sad luck stories. Well, I'm married, and I can't get out of it right now. You know, I don't want to be there, but, you know, I have children. They always fall back on that as their crutch.
Right.
When in truth, you know, they just don't have, you know, the guts to be honest about, you know, being a gay man. So they string these guys along, and eventually I get these letters from these men, at least, you know, at least two a week, I would say, or three a week. What should I do? What should I do? And, you know, I keep saying to, you know, they're kind of looking for advice, like, is a woman ever going to leave? Is a woman, you know, they always get these stories from the men. Well, you know, my wife would find out or my girlfriend would find out. She wouldn't let me see the children. And I tell them, that's ridiculous. You know, there are courts. You know, you fathers have rights. You can't take away somebody's right to see their child because, you know, they're gay. Mm-hmm. I said, they're making up these stories so that they don't have to, you know, live a gay life. They want their straight life. They want to have their cake and eat it, too.
Yes. So. Yeah. And, you know, Bonnie, the thing about it is we all, you said this before, that if you don't come into these marriages broken, you come out of them broken. Well,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you a question. I this is how I perceive things. I'm not just talking about gay men, but I'm talking about men in general. I think men have a healthier sense of self-esteem than women do. And I've often wondered if the reason why they do that is because women nurture them and also, I guess, nurture their ego. But most men that I know don't suffer from low self-esteem.
I think what you bring up is an excellent point, Grace. I think because women are by nature nurturers,
mm-hmm.
that we support our men no matter what, that we look to build them up and compliment them no matter how bad they really are.
Yes.
I think that they do have a higher sense of self-esteem.
Yes.
But I think they also don't care that much. You know, I think that most men don't have that emotional type of need to have self-esteem the way that women do.
Right. Well, the reason I asked that was I just think it's so strange and is that these old men, I'm talking, you know, elderly men that have lots of money and they have the pretty supermodel-looking woman on their arm,
mm-hmm.
and they apparently just, I mean, I don't see any poor older men having supermodels on their arm.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they really, I really believe that they think that they're all that. And instead of really looking at it and thinking that she's there for the money, you know. And my sister had sent me this cartoon a while back because she knows that I've been dealing with trying to get self-esteem and build my self-esteem up. And it's just a cartoon. It was out of, I think, a newspaper or maybe a magazine, and it's two frames. Both frames have a full-length mirror in them. One frame has this woman, and the other frame has man. Well, the woman is a pretty woman. She's looking in the mirror, and she sees this fat, ugly, wrinkled-up woman. Well, the man is overweight, bald-headed, and he looks in the mirror and sees Adonis, you know. So I just think it's very strange, and you're probably right. Men think with logic and women think with emotion, but I think that men in general just don't.
Yeah, but I think you brought up a really good point. You know, most children are loved by their, you know, forget when they even get to a relationship. You know, they have loving mothers, you know, sons and mothers. The mother's always building up the sons. The fathers are building up the sons. You know, I think in a lot of ways it's a male-dominated culture where, you know, men are always encouraged because they're supposed to be supporting the family, so things are overlooked. You know, people aren't as strict with the boy as they are with the girl. You know, so I think a lot of it messages when you're younger and then you marry someone who treats you really good and making you feel good about yourself. And I just don't think that men have that same, you know, need and the same depth that women have. That's not to say that some of them aren't sensitive and caring men, but they just don't have, you know, the usual, like I say, feelings that women have. So I think you really did bring up a good point. But they do see themselves differently. And, you know, they perceive life differently in general. I think that they don't take it nearly as seriously as we take it.
Yeah, I think that's very true.
Grace, I'd like to really put you on the spot and embarrass you a little bit. Sorry, but you know me. So I do want to say this for our listeners, and, you know, having had the opportunity and pleasure of meeting Grace, as I mentioned once before in the show, so I don't want to, you know, surprise you by saying this, you are a very stunning, beautiful woman, not only on the inside, but also on the outside. You have that unique combination of inside and outside. But, you know, to look at you, I mean, you're model beautiful. I mean, you're really very stunning. And yet, having all the beauty in the world doesn't really make a difference when it comes to self-esteem, right?
Well, Bonnie, I thank you for the compliment. I don't ever really think of myself that way, but I thank you for the compliment. But, you know, it doesn't. And you know, I've met women that are not all that what I would consider beautiful. They're maybe attractive or kind of cute or pretty, but they have very, very high self-esteem. And then I've met women that are just drop-dead gorgeous and hang their heads like they're nothing. So but the one thing that I've realized through coming through all this is, and I spoke of this a little bit earlier, I will no longer allow anybody to define my value. I've got to find my own value, and I'm starting to not only love myself, and it's not in a conceited way, I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about love myself, the person that I am, but really liking myself and the person that I am. And it's taken a lot of work, but I've just gotten to the point where, am I a perfect person? No, but we, none of us are, but I'm okay. You know, I really am okay. And when you start getting to that point, it really is, it's a great feeling to really like the person that you are.
And I think that's the key to having success in your future is rebuilding yourself after these bad relationships, because I think they do so much internal damage.
Yeah.
And it's like I tell women that even when the damage is done, you still have so much residual scarring that it doesn't take much when you have scars to pick away at them and then have them start bleeding all over again.
Right.
And when you get in with the wrong man, and many of us are prone to find men who are what I call predators, if we don't build ourselves up because they're looking for us, you know, predators are always looking for women who are vulnerable. And some guy comes along, some sweet-talking guy, and we believe, you know, whatever they're saying. And we want so much to be loved and so much to feel like we're worthwhile that we fall into these bad relationships again. So if you don't take the time to learn who you are, to find yourself again, or as you were saying, you lose yourself in these relationships totally, you become someone you don't even know. So you have to get back to yourself, and if you get involved with somebody sooner than you're ready, I say you're going to repeat it. And I think the fact is that you're now willing to say, you know what, if I'm ready to meet somebody, great, but if that person isn't the right person, I'm not sticking with him. I'm not wasting my time, right?
Absolutely. I'm not going to waste my time. But, you know, Bonnie, I think the two main things that women come out of these relationships lacking is, of course, self-esteem, but another thing is trust. The one thing that I've realized about myself is that trust is kind of the a residual from self-esteem. I think when you build your self-esteem up and you start working on loving and having a good sense of self about you, the trust issue comes into play almost automatically, because then you start trusting your ability to make decisions and make the right decisions because you feel so much better about yourself. And so I don't really work on the trust thing too much anymore. I'm not too much worried about that. I'm just trying to build up my sense of self again, and I think the trust thing will come when I feel good about myself to make the decisions that are coming my way.
So you're still keeping your heart open, right?
Absolutely. I don't ever close my, I'm not going to close my heart up. My heart was closed for a long time, but I have let it be open. And if someone comes into my life, that's he's going to have to prove himself. You know, I mean, I call when you first start either talking to someone on the phone or maybe even just start going out to dinner or whatever. And we all are guilty of it, men and women. We always want to put up the best foot forward for, you know, that person, to let them see all the good things about us. But I want to give it enough time to be able to see the little cracks in the in the shell before I make any kind of commitment to him, you know. And so, like I said, but I'm not looking for a man. If one comes my way, then that'll be great. But I'm just learning to love my life the way it is right now. And like I said, I have a very full life now. And I love what I'm doing, my job, and love my family and my friends. So it's a good time in my life right now. But it wasn't always that way.
Right. And that's why I think sometimes you can really go out there after you have these bad marriages, and once you build yourself up, you can find happiness like you've never had before. You know, if you've been married for a long time or had, you know, past relationships before this bad marriage, other bad marriages like we had, you know, a lot of times you never had time to even find out who you were because you were so busy trying to find a man to be, you know, make him happy.
Right.
So learning who you are and learning to love yourself for who you are, that's why you get to the point where when you do meet a man, it's not because you need a man, it's because you want someone to enhance what you already have.
Right.
Otherwise, then you don't have to be needy. Then you can really pick and choose who you really want to be with, right?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, I had told you before, I have these little signs up in my house in strategic places, and they're just kind of little affirming things, and sometimes they're just things that make me laugh, but a friend of mine sent me one not too long ago, and I love this one. It says, "What you put up with, you end up with." And I thought, how true that is. If you're willing to put up with it, then that's what you're going to end up with, you know. So I love all my little signs in my house.
Do you know the saying we have here, that when you don't know you're a victim, but when you stay with it, you're a volunteer?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and I
that's one of my
that.
Favorite by my friend Viv. You know like I say, when you don't know and you're involved in a relationship and you know you don't know what's wrong, you know, you, and somebody's victimizing him, it's one thing. But then when you find out and you still want to stay with him, then you're volunteering. Then you can't complain anymore.
That's right. That's exactly right. But there's so many good ones out there. I love this other one that I have. It says, "If someone treats me badly, I'm strong enough now to walk away." And, but this is, I think this is the favorite one that I have up right now, that I'm very fortunate all my friends send me these, and I take down ones that have been up for a while, I put up a new one, but it says, "I'm not a one in a million girl, I'm a once in a lifetime woman." And if you keep reaffirming yourself with things that make you feel good about yourself, it does start working on you, on your self-esteem, you know, about making you feel good about yourself. But I really strongly urge women, they don't have to do the signs like me, but make a little book that has things that make you feel good about yourself or whatever it is. But I think it just helps you. I have it in little strategic places. I have something on my mirror in my bathroom. I have something on the wall, the door to my closet. And I just read those when I'm kind of feeling down or whatever, and it does help you. So there's all kinds of things you can do to make yourself feel better. And I also wanted to tell women out there, I've been doing this. In fact, I've taken 8 classes, but there's a website I go to. It's called EB2Go.com. And what it is it's online classes. You don't get a degree, or they're not credits towards a degree, but this job that I accepted, I have to do a whole lot more computer work, and a lot of the new programs I was not familiar with. And for women that may not have been in the workforce very long, in a while or whatever, and want to improve on some things that they might need for a job in the future when they're deciding to make the move, or maybe they already have, the courses are $90, and they last 6 weeks, and you get a certificate. But I've taken eight computer classes and have learned so much. I do it at my house and at night when I'm home. And if someone's out there struggling about getting back in the workforce, I just wanted to mention that website that they could go to. And like I said, the classes aren't very expensive, and they don't last very long, but they really do help. And there's even classes on there about job interviews,
mm-hmm.
how to go through a job interview, how to write a good resume for yourself. And I just know that there's women out there that may not be quite ready to make that jump because they haven't been in the workforce very long, but they might want to start doing something like that to get themselves ready for whenever they're ready to go.
I think that's really excellent advice because, you know, some women aren't ready right away.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of women who haven't been in the workforce for a long time, and now they have to first go out there and support their family. They have nothing to fall back on. So right. I think that's an excellent idea of a way to get started.
Right. And then, of course, Maggie gave all those good tips about getting yourself ready if you're going through a divorce to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are just little things, but in the long run, they become big things for you if you just tuck them back and start working on them. If you're getting ready to go, or you're trying to get a game plan ready to go, those are all just little things that might help you to do that.
I found a new thing. I'm putting it in the next newsletter, and I really love it. I mean, this is my new affirmation, and I think that you might like it too. It says,
okay.
Never regret anything because at one time it was exactly what you wanted.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think that's so good because, you know, we all say, well, why did I do this? Why did I do that? Well, the time that we did it, that's what we needed in our life.
Right.
And you can't go back and say, oh, I shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have done that. You did it because at that time it was right for you.
Right.
You know, the important thing is realizing that it wasn't right for you and then doing something about it. But you can't beat yourself up for it when you didn't even know, right?
No, you cannot. And, you know, for women that are going through this, you know, if for no other reason you had your children and they are a gift. And so, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of good that came out of my marriage with my gay husband, but the one thing that I can say is that coming out of it, I had to have been in it in order to come through it, and it has made me a stronger woman and a woman that is working on myself now. And so it doesn't mean that much to anybody else, but for me, I had to have gone through it in order to. I might still be in that marriage, Bonnie. I really think that had he not walked down, I was so beat down that I probably would still be with him. But it's a blessing in a way that he left when he did, and I got out of it. And now, I mean, I would never in a million years go back, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Go back. But I wanted to touch just a little bit more about the healing weekend
mm-hmm.
for the women that are coming. You're going to meet all kinds of women there as far as their stories may differ from yours. But, you know, you're going to meet women that have husbands or good fathers and then some that are bad. And you're going to have ones that were kind to you and then ones that were just horrible to other women. And then some women have had confirmation. Their husbands, you know, came forth and said it. And you're going to have some that never had confirmation at all. But they are all so supportive and caring. And like I said, you won't come away the same woman that you went in that room being. And it's just great. And another thing I wanted to say to the women is there's something very, very wonderful about actually seeing women face-to-face. You can
mm-hmm.
chat with them on the chat room. You can read about them in your books or your newsletters or whatever. But seeing them face-to-face, really seeing
mm-hmm.
the woman that you're talking to is very, very, very helpful, just seeing the women in person. And it's just a remarkable weekend. I can't wait.
I know. I think, you know, that's the best part that women feel about these weekends is actually meeting other women live.
Right.
And a lot of people need that validation. And it's one thing to meet in a chat room. It's another thing to read my letters and the newsletters. But, you know, actually meeting the women, hearing their stories. And as you say, even though they're all different, none of us come from the same place, the same time, and the same space. But we all have the same kind of emotional reaction to living in a situation that is never a good situation. You know, for women who were deliriously happy throughout their marriages, now they have to look back and realize how much of it was truth, how much wasn't it. You know, they're always wondering, well, maybe if I would, why would I be so happy all those years and all of a sudden it changed? You know, they go through, you know, a different kind of hell than the women who are suffering all these years, you know, but it's never,
right.
It's always like the same kind of emotional impact.
Right.
So I'm really excited that we have a wonderful group of women who will be coming. A lot of the women weren't there last year, but, you know, once again, it's just wonderful meeting new women who will have the same experience, and it's going to be, you know, a very intensive weekend, but certainly everybody will walk away feeling better.
Right.
And I hope you'll be leading an exercise there, Grace, because you gave me such a good idea. I tried it at our Philadelphia workshop, the idea that you gave me about throwing away, you know, the negativity words. So I'm hoping you'll be able to do that for us while we're there.
You know, what I thought would be so cool, and I'm not talking about on the healing weekend, but, you know, for the women that call you and read your book, want your books or newsletters or whatever, how wonderful it would be if you could find some women that would do like a DVD and actually tell their story on tape so that, and then when women called you, you could, of course, charge them for it, but you could send it out to them and they could actually see the women by putting it in their DVD and watching the women in person tell their story, you know. I don't know if any woman would be willing to do that. I don't even know about the cost or anything, but I thought, oh, I would have loved that when I called, you know, to have women on my TV set actually telling me what their stories were. It's something about seeing people face-to-face is just really, really good.
Yeah, it's true. In fact, the Mormons did a whole series of videos like that, and, you know, they're really progressive as far as that's concerned. Because that's just something they would have never talked about before, and now they have a whole movement of, you know, women and men, you know, who are gay in the Mormon community, and talking about that it will get better, you know, even though they can't live together. And just hearing their stories, I think it's really inspiring.
Yes.
So that's a great project that we'll be working on in the future, Grace. After we get past this weekend coming up in Houston.
Absolutely. I'm so excited.
We're gonna get you. Yeah, and I am too. When are you getting there?
I'm coming in early Saturday morning.
Okay, well, we'll be waiting for you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Do you have a long drive to come in?
No, I'm. My daughter lives just outside of Houston, and so I thought I'd drive in Friday night. It'll give me a chance to visit with her for a little bit, and then I'll get up early Saturday morning and leave to come. And it's just a hop, skip, and a jump from where she lives to where we're going to be meeting. And so, and then, of course, I'm going to stay at the hotel Saturday night so that I can participate in, through the whole weekend. So I'm very excited about it. I can't wait to get there. This 2 weeks are probably going to go by real slow because I'm sort of looking forward to
it. Well, before you know it, I'll be coming to you and getting that big hug that I've been waiting for.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Bonnie.
Yeah, same here, Grace. And thank you so much again for sharing your story. Our women are always inspired to hear you, and especially the women, the new women who come who haven't heard you before and who are waiting to hear you tonight. And, you know, I hope that Grace's story has helped you. And if anybody would like some support from Grace, write to me at bondk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to forward your comments to her. So, Grace, I'll be saying goodnight and wishing you a wonderful 2 weeks till I get to see you in person.
Good night, Bonnie, and thank you for having me on, and good night, everyone.
Yeah, so next week, in fact, before we hang up, we have you been listening at all to Dr. Brian Hooper, who comes on our show?
I just love him. I sometimes don't get to listen to him on Sunday night, but during the week I will listen to his programs. But he is the most calming, soothing voice, and his information is so spot on, and it's just a joy to listen to him every time he's on. So
yeah, I'm so happy that, you know, I was able to hook up with him and he's willing to be a regular guest once a month on our show. So So next week, we'll be having Dr. Brian Hooper on and talking about issues that affect all of us. So thanks again, Grace. You know, I love you.
I love you too, Bonnie.
All right, and I'll be seeing you soon. And to everyone who's listening to our show, have a great week. If you need help, you need support, you need the newsletters, just write to me at bonk@aol.com. Good night, everyone. Good night, Grace.
Good night, Bonnie.